بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. This is the third lesson that we're having in reading from the explanation of Al-Usul al-Thalatha by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow us to benefit from this work and from that which is presented by the author and the one who explained the book, which is Sheikh Saleh ibn al-Fawzan al-Fawzan hafizahullah ta'ala. Last week we left off on with the first issue or the first masala, which is al-ilm. We explained in brief the speech of the Sheikh. And indeed, as was mentioned by many of the ulama, such as the likes of Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, مَا عُبِدَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not worshipped with anything better than knowledge. And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala goes on to explain what is that ilm. And indeed, when we mentioned that and we read from the speech of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, how he explains the importance of knowledge and the difference between the knowledge which is obligatory upon every believer and the knowledge which is specific only for individuals who want to indulge in or partake in a particular action. We mentioned that it's important for the masajid and the maraqis and Islamiyya to focus on teaching the new Muslim that which is incumbent upon them from the very first moment they enter into Islam. And that the individual should not be left, because indeed at that time, that's when the shaitan is going to be very diligent in sending his troops and trying to guide the individual astray. Because the fact that Islam hasn't become grounded in the heart of the individual, Iman has not become grounded in the heart of the individual. So at that moment, the shaitan is going to send his cavalry to the individual to try to distract the individual and lead him astray after he or she has entered into the religion of Islam. Then, Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, toward the end of that speech about knowledge, he mentioned about the knowledge of the dunya, that if an individual does not learn it, then there is no sin upon him. There is no sin upon the individual, meaning when this individual is placed in his grave, he won't be asked about, did he learn, you know, how to fly a plane? Did he learn how to even drive a car? And these are not the issues that an individual will be asked about on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But then he goes on to explain something which is important, where he, and that's where he says, وَإِذَا نَفَعَ بِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فَهُوَ مَعْجُورٌ عَلَيْهِ وَمُثَابٌ عَلَيْهِ. But if an individual learns something which is mubah, an individual learns something which is permissible, how to drive, how to fix cars, if he learns something which is mubah, and he uses it to benefit the ummah, then this individual would get a reward. And this individual would get a reward, especially if it's something that the Muslim ummah is in need of. So that shows you that something that which is mubah, in general, the individual, because the ta'rif or the definition for that which is mubah, which is something which is allowed, is that a person, if he performs it, there's no sin upon him. If he performs it, there's no reward, and if he abandons it, there's no sin. But the Shaykh goes on to explain, but if the individual uses it for the Muslims to benefit from, then there is a reward for that. Now, and moving on, the author, Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdullah, rahimahullah ta'ala, goes on to explain what is al-ilm. Well, the first element of ilm, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَبِيِّهِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْأَدِلَّةِ. Three elements of knowledge. He said it is knowledge of Allah, knowledge of His Prophet, and knowledge of the religion of Islam with proofs. With regard to the knowledge of Allah, we mentioned the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal has admonished the individuals who have not known Allah with true knowledge. And that was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in Madarij al-Salikin. And Allah has admonished individuals who have not known Allah with a true ma'rifah. And the understanding of that is the fact that the Quraysh, what would make you understand the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala and the importance of that which the author has mentioned here about knowing Allah, is the Quraysh. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had a ma'rifah of Allah. As Allah ta'ala mentioned in different verses in the Quran, and we previously mentioned some of these verses in Al-Qawa'd al-Arda, the lesson, the four principles, where Allah ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They would say, Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ لَيَقُولَنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say, Allah. So they had a ma'rifah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They had a ma'rifah, but it wasn't the ma'rifah that was sought and demanded by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla is something extremely important. Sara al-Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, or before going into his speech, to show you the importance of this knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his fatawa, he said, أَلَّذَّةُ وَالْفَرْحَةُ وَالسُّرُورُ وَطِيبُ الْوَقْتِ وَالنَّعِيمُ الَّذِي لَا يُمْكِنُ التَّعْبِيرُ عَنْهُ إنما هو في معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى وتوحيده والإيمان به. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that the taste, yani the sweet taste and the happiness and the joy, the sweet taste and the happiness and the joy and the good time and the blessing that a person cannot describe, you know, the all of these things, which is the sweet taste, the joy, the happiness, the good time, the blessing that a person cannot describe, all of it is in knowing, or all of it is derived from knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, from knowing Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and implementing Tawheed and believing in Him. That was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. It was also mentioned by Ibn Qayyim, likewise in Madarij al-Salikin, where he said, مَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةِ. It's mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, the person who knows Allah with his names and his attributes and his actions, this person will truly love Allah. There is no, it must take place. It must take place. Yani, without a doubt, indeed, the person would love Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spending 13 years in Mecca before migrating to Al-Madinah, making this strong or creating this strong foundation amongst the Sahaba of this ma'rifah of Allah Azza wa Jal, according to the Tawheed. Calling to the Tawheed, so that when later on, when the commands of Allah and such as jihad, you know, things that the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, for them to perform that which is difficult upon them, and for them to abstain from that which is difficult to abstain from, when those commands were revealed, it was something that their nafs raced to. It was something that their nafs raced to. Why? Because they had a strong foundation of the Tawheed and the Ma'rifah and the Iman of Allah Azza wa Jal. When I said the strong front, yani, so that later on, when I said to that later on, when the orders of Allah to abstain from that which they loved, such as khamr, such as zina, such as drinking alcohol, which is khamr, such as zina, which is fornication and adultery, such as gambling, when Allah Azza wa Jal ordered them to abstain from these things, they immediately abstained from it. Because they knew Allah. Because they knew Allah. And likewise, when Allah ordered them to perform that which they were not, in general, that which they were not happy to perform previously, it became something that their nafs immediately submitted to because they knew Allah. Because they knew Allah. Such as giving your wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That was not something the Arab. That was not something the Arab nor anyone from their time to our time. That's not something that people enjoy. Giving away that which they have earned or that which they have inherited. The nature of the human is that he holds on to that which he has earned or that which he has inherited. Unless he himself spends it for something that would benefit him, worldly, some type of worldly benefit. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them to give their wealth in charity, in zakat, they did so. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them to go out and fight in the way of jihad, they did so. Fighting in the way of jihad, yani, I can leave my home, my family, my wife, my crops, and the likes of that, and it's a possibility that I would not return. That's difficult. But when the foundation of knowing Allah Azza wa Jal was strong, because it has been built 13 years by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, then there was not a problem for them. So this foundation, to illustrate the importance of this foundation in those two matters, to show you how strong it was, when Allah ordered them to stop something that they were accustomed to performing, fornication and adultery, as it was mentioned, if you read in the introduction to Rahiq al-Maqtum, Rahiq al-Maqtum, Aisha mentioned that marriage during the days of Jahiliyyah, this was, yani, fornication and adultery was something which was widespread, it was something which was known. Individuals, and you can read in the introduction to Rahiq al-Maqtum, likewise, individuals who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had eight wives, came to the Prophet, entered into Islam and had eight wives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have to, you let four go. That was something that was difficult for them. But because of this ma'rifah of Allah Azza wa Jal, they abandoned it. Likewise, performing that which they weren't accustomed to, and that is leaving their families and staying away and fighting and possibly not coming back. Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, he mentions, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يَعْرِفُ الْعَبْدُ رَبَّهُ. How does an individual know his Lord? يَعْرِفُهُ بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِهِ. He knows his Lord by that which Allah has revealed and that which Allah has created. And then he goes on down to say, يَعْرِفَ اللَّهَ بِآيَاتِهِ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ وَآيَاتِهِ الْقُرْآنِيَّةِ. The individual knows his Lord by that which Allah has created and that which Allah has revealed, meaning the Quran. إذا قرأ القرآن إذا قرأ القرآن عرف عرف الله سبحانه وتعالى أنه هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنه هو الذي سخر ما في السماوات والأرض وأنه هو الذي يحيي ويميت. To the end of the speech of the Sheikh, he said, if you read the Quran, you will know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs you, يعني, you will know that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who created the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that controls the heavens and the earth. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings life and brings about death. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah controls everything. وَأَنَّهُ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is the most beneficent, the most merciful. فَالْقُرْآنُ يُعَرِّفُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So the Quran, it informs you about Allah. And it informs you specifically about Allah. It informs you specifically about Allah. And the reason why I say specifically, because later on, further down, the Shaykh says, وَإِذَا نَظَرْتَ فِي الْقَوْنِ عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. If you look into the creation, you know Allah. And you know that Allah has created this. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ هَذَا الْخَلْقِ. That Allah created it. And something, yani something which is tremendous, something which is magnificent, had to create this. It is not the creation which created it. It is not my hand which created it. So you would know, in general, that Allah created these things. But the specific knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the specific knowledge of the actions of Allah, and the speech of Allah, and the attributes of Allah, this is in the Quran and in Hadith. It would not be taken from the creation. It would not be taken from the creation. But general things such as creating, that's taken from the creation, you know, and other things. But specific actions and specific sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal can only be taken from the nusus, can only be taken from the text. Mathalan, كالمثال, as an example, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, which has been reported in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّكُمْ كُلَّ لَيْلَ حَيْنَ يَبْقَى ثُلَثَ اللَّيْلَ الْأَخِيرِ. So the Prophet said, your Lord descends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends during every night, during the last portion of the night, or the third part of the night. This cannot be taken from this information, and this attribute of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, cannot be taken from the creation. It can't be taken from looking at the moon. It can't be taken from looking at the stars. So that shows you that the ma'rifah of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ma'rifah of Allah Azza wa Jal is taken from the creation, but the specific attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, or some of the specific attributes of Allah Ta'ala, cannot be taken from the creation, but it is taken from the text. It is taken from that which Allah Ta'ala has revealed of Quran or of Sunnah. Now, then the Shaykh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala goes on to explain when he says, وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَبِيِّهِ. And so the first element of knowledge is to know Allah. The second element of knowledge is to know His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Shaykh says, هو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه هو المبلغ عن الله عز وجل. You should know the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because he is the one that informed about Allah. He is the one, وهو الواسطة بيننا وبين الله عز وجل. He is the middleman between us and Allah عز وجل. في تبليغ الرسالة, in informing of the message. So, لابد أن تعرفه. So you must know this Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. تعرف من هو, you should know who he is. تعرف نسبه, you should know his lineage. And he's going to explain later on, you should know his lineage because he leads back to Prophet Ismail عليه الصلاة والسلام. He leads back to Prophet Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. So there was a silsila. You know, and that's why they say Ibrahim is Abu al-Anbiya. That's why they describe Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام as the father of the prophets, because after Ibrahim, all of the prophets are from his lineage. All of the prophets, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, all of the prophets are from his lineage after Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So you should know the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ta'rifa balada. You should know which place he came from. Ta'rifu ma ja'a bihi. You should know that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought, which is tawheed. Ta'rifu kayfa bada'a al-wahy. You should know how the revelation began. And you can find that in the beginning of Sahih Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, has a chapter called Badu Wahi, the beginning of the revelation. So you should know how the revelation began. And there's no doubt. And he says, وَكَيْفَ قَامَ بِالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي مَكَّةِ وَالْمَدِينَةِ. You should know how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began his call in Mecca and in Al-Medina. وَتَعْرِفُ سِيرَةَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. You should know the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وَلَوْ بِالْإِخْتِصَارِ. Even if it was summarized, even if it was summarized in brief. And it's important for the believers, and this is another thing that the Marakis, Al-Islamiyah, the Masajid, the Muslim, the mosques, and the Da'wah centers, they should also organize and establish, especially for the new Muslims and for the older Muslims who've been in Islam for some time, they should establish these type of lessons. Lessons in Tawheed. Why? So that the individuals can get this ma'rifah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And based on that which is presented by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala in Surah Thalatha, and it is taken from the Qur'an. It is taken from the Qur'an, from the beginning of the Qur'an to the end of the Qur'an is about Allah Azza wa Jal. As was mentioned by Sheikh al-Islam, as was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim. It's mentioned about Allah Azza wa Jal, his names, his attributes, his actions, that which Allah is pleased with, that which Allah is displeased with, those who Allah sent to the people, the punishment of the people who disobeyed those individuals who were sent by Allah. The punishment of the people who disobeyed the prophets and the messengers who were sent by Allah. The reward for the people who obeyed those who were sent by Allah. Yani the reward for the people who obeyed the prophets and the messengers. So the Quran, from the beginning of it to the end of it, is about Allah Azza wa Jalla. So with that being the case, it's incumbent upon the masajid and the Muslim centers to establish lessons in Tawheed. Because you need to build up the iman of these people who have entered into Islam. And likewise, to establish lessons in seerah, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you need to build the ma'rifah of the people in as it relates to who they follow and obey. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as the middleman between the people and Allah azza wa jalla. Not that the people worship the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather that the people obey him and worship Allah through his teachings, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that being the case, then they need to know about this individual. They need to know about this individual, and because of that, now Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says toward the end of his speech, كيف تتبع شخصا وأنت لا تعرفه غير معقول. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, how can you follow an individual? You don't know this individual. You don't know his lineage. You don't know his life. You don't know his manners. You don't know his dealings. But indeed, and because of that, if you go deep into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if you even, if you even read the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would find out why the Sahaba obeyed him and followed him and loved him the way they did, and why individuals who don't do the same, learn his seerah, learn his life, learn his manners, why these individuals find difficulty in submitting to that which he informed and that which he commanded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to them. Why? Because they don't know the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how is it that you have the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who said, before we heard about this man, before we met this man, you had those who entered into Islam, they said, before we met this man, when we heard about him, he was the most disliked individual to us. He was the most hated individual to us. Because what did they hear? They heard that there's a man that's dividing the people in Mecca. They heard that there's a man that's making a son hate his father, and making a woman hate her husband, and making this and making that. We heard that there's a man that's causing pure chaos and havoc in Mecca. So of course they're going to hate him. But they said, as we approached Mecca, and we saw this man, and we came into contact with this man, and we saw how he was calling the people and what he was calling to, and we heard his message, and we saw how he was helping the poor, and how he was calling to justice, and how he was this, and how he was that. When we saw this man and we came into contact with this man, he became the most beloved individual to us. How was that the case, except that they learned about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they saw. Likewise, you had individuals who came to fight the Muslims. There was an individual, and I can't recall his name at this time, but there was an individual who came to fight the Muslims, a disbeliever. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him to the masjid and said to the Sahaba, tie him in the masjid. Tie him in the masjid. And every day, they would feed him, they would give him drink, and every day the Muslims would pray. And this individual said, wallahi, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most hated individual to me. And they tied him in the masjid, if I'm not mistaken, for 3 days. And then after the third day, he said, please untie me. He left the masjid, he went and made a wudu, and he came back into the masjid and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasul. Why did he do that? Because he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw his dealings. So indeed, when the believer learns about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his life and his call to tawheed and his manners and his treatment of his wives and his treatment of the believers and his assisting of the poor and the likes of that, this is something which would also do what? Build his iman. Like it built the iman of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And so that's what was mentioned by Sheikh Salah Fawzan toward the end of his speech, is that the individual should know the person who he is following, and how can you follow an individual and you do not know about him? This does not make any sense. This is not logical. Then he says, وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْأَدِلَّةِ, and you know the religion of Islam with proofs. Now, so he said, you know the religion of Islam with proofs. The Shaykh mentioned Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, الَّذِي هُوَ دِينُ هَذَا الرَّسُولِ. You should know, what is the religion of this prophet? What is the religion of this prophet? And actually, the religion of the prophet, Rasul. Now, he says, بَلْ هُوَ دِينُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And what is the religion of Allah? Yani, he mentioned that you should know Allah, you should know his prophet, and you should know the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam is the religion that Allah has legislated. And it is the religion that the Prophet ﷺ called to. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily, the religion with Allah Azza wa Jal is Islam. Then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala goes on to explain that Islam, which is to submit, you know, al-Islam هو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد. Islam is to submit to Allah with tawheed. And Islam has a general definition and it has a specific definition. Islam has a general definition and it has a specific definition. Islam, in its general definition, is to submit to Allah with tawheed. So it's to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal with tawheed. So every individual who submits to Allah after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and before Muhammad, and after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, and before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Musa and Ibrahim, all of them were following Islam. Why? Because they were, in its general meaning, because they were submitting to Allah Azza wa Jalla with tawheed. So all of the prophets and the messengers were upon Islam, in its general meaning, because they all submitted to Allah with tawheed. And Islam, in its specific meaning, is the religion that was sent and revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Islam, in its specific meaning, is the religion that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is, you know, from his time sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Likewise, the Muslim. The Muslim is someone who submits to Allah with Tawheed, in general meaning. And likewise, the Muslim is the one who adheres to the religion and the legislation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its specific meaning. So when you hear, and the reason why the scholars mention that is, so when you hear, مثلاً, when you read in the Quran, وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, when you hear that Musa or Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned, and I am the first of the Muslims, then the people might say, but how is Ibrahim or Musa saying that they're Muslims when a Muslim is someone who believes in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And yani, they did not, yani, before that, yani, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, was the religion called Islam? Were they speaking Arabic and the likes of that? Sometimes that brings an ishkal. That brings somebody might be considered to be a discrepancy, but that's not the case. Because when they say, وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am the first for those to submit to Allah in Tawheed. I am the first for those of those to submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla in Tawheed. So they mean it in its general sense, not in its specific sense or its specific definition, which is the religion that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his time until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now, so that is what is understood. That is what is understood, that Islam has a general meaning, which is to submit to Allah with Tawheed, and a specific meaning, which is the religion which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muslim has a general meaning, someone who submits to Allah with Tawheed, and it has a specific meaning, who is the follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Tayyib. And that's what he mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, or a brief summary of that which was mentioned by Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan in terms of Islam with its general meaning and its specific meaning. And then he says, بِالْأَدِلَّةِ, with proofs, and meaning with knowledge. Yani we follow Islam based on knowledge. And that's why he mentioned the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, al-ilmu qala Allahu qala rasuluhu qala as-sahabatu hum ulul arfani. Now he said, so knowledge is the statement of Allah, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the statement of the sahaba, because verily they were upon knowledge. Verily they were upon knowledge. So these were the first three things that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned as it pertains to knowledge. Moving on. After he mentions knowledge with its clarification, then he goes on to say, الثانيةُ العملُ بِهِ. And after a person gains knowledge, which is knowing Allah, knowing His Prophet, and knowing the religion of Islam, then it is upon the individual to do what? It's upon the individual to act upon that knowledge. And indeed, before we go on to mentioning the speech of the Shaykh, you should know, while reading the Quran, that this affair of acting upon knowledge is mentioned throughout the Quran. In the verses where Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds. So actions is a part of Islam. Actions are a part of Islam. And it is not accepted that an individual says, I believe, without doing actions. Without doing actions. And because of that, likewise, if we go into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that he was very diligent in calling his companions to act upon the religion of Islam. And because of that, you find throughout the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find him telling his companions, whoever does this action, Allah would reward him with this. Whoever does this action, Allah would reward him with that. Why did he mention actions? Because it is a part of our religion. Because if they are a part of our religion. And because of that, you have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is narrated in the Jama' al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْعَدُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the feet of an individual will not be removed from standing on their judgment until he is asked about certain things. حَتَّى يُسْعَدَ عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى. He will be asked about his life. What did he do? His age, his youthhood. What did he do? وَعَنْ عَمَلِهِ فِي مَا فَعَلْ.
he would be asked about his actions. Afwan, وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِي مَا فَعَلْ بِهِ. He would be asked about his knowledge. What did he do with your knowledge? He would be asked about his knowledge. What did he do with that knowledge? Did he act upon it? Did he abandon it? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اقْتَسَبَهُ وَفِي مَا أَنْفَقَ. He would be asked about his wealth. Where did he gain this wealth, and where did he spend his wealth? وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَى. He would be asked about his body. What did he do with his body? Did he use it, مثلاً, for, you know, working in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, fighting jihad in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, salat, the likes of that, or did he use it, مثلاً, damaging his own body, such as individuals, you know, boxing and stuff like that? Did he damage his own body, you know, committing suicide and the likes of that? This body is not, doesn't belong to you. It is a loan from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you're going to, it's going to be returned back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that's the hadith with the Prophet. In that hadith, the Prophet mentioned, وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِي مَا فَعَلَ بِهِ. He will be asked about his knowledge, that which he did with it, meaning, what did he act upon? Meaning, what did he act upon? Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentions Hafiz Allah Ta'ala. He says, I بِالْعِلْمِ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يُعَلَّمْ وَيَتَعَلَّمْ بَلْ لَابُدْ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِعِلْمِهِ. He said, yani the person is going to be asked about his action. Action based on the knowledge. Because the first thing was the knowledge. Knowing Allah, His Prophet, and the religion. Then the action. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, because he said, because it is not sufficient, nor is it accepted, that an individual learns and does not act, learns and teaches, but he does not act upon the knowledge. فَالْعِلْمُ بِدُونِ عَمَلٍ إِنَّمَا هُوَ حُجَّةٌ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. He said, because knowledge without actions, it is a proof upon the individual. It is a proof upon the individual. فَلَا يَكُونُ الْعِلْمُ نَافِعًا إِلَّا بِالْعَمَلِ. So knowledge will not be considered, knowledge is not considered to be beneficial, except that it is based on, except it is based on and coupled with, Afwan, it is based on and coupled with, Afwan. Knowledge is not considered to be beneficial except that it is coupled with action. And he says, أَمَّا مَنْ عَلِمَ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ فَهَذَا مَغْضُوبٌ عَلَيْهِ لِعَنَّهُ عَرَفَ الْحَقَّ وَتَرَكَهُ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. He said, so the individual who knows but does not act, then this individual, he is hated. He is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah hates. Because he knows the truth, but he abandons it after having knowledge. Then he says, وَالنَّظِمُ يَقُولُ, a line of poetry, وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمْ يَعْمَلًا وَعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبَلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. The knowledgeable person who did not act upon his knowledge, he will be punished before the people who were wathaniyun, those who were like idol worshippers. This is a line of poetry. And the line of poetry the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala is basing it on the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَنْ تُصَعَّرْ بِهِمُ النَّارُ النَّارُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there will be the first three people who the fire will burn on the Day of Judgment. Now listen to the hadith once again. The Prophet has mentioned the first three people who the fire will burn on the Day of Judgment. The first of them, عَالِمٌ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِعِلْمِهِ, is the scholar who did not act upon his knowledge. And in the continuation of the hadith, yani the individual who he only gained the knowledge so that the people can say he is knowledgeable. He only gained the knowledge so that the people can say he is knowledgeable. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ said the first three people who the fire would burn on the Day of Judgment, and the first of them is a scholar who did not act upon his knowledge. He was not sincere. He only gained and taught. He only gained the knowledge and taught the knowledge so that people can say he's knowledgeable. Some of the scholars say that what is meant by the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first three people to be burned, some of the scholars say it as what it is taken as the apparent wording of the Prophet ﷺ, the first three people, even before the Kufar. Even before the Kufar. And that is what Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan Hafizullah ta'ala is hinting toward, or mentioning. And that is, because he mentioned a line of poetry. The line of poetry meaning, the scholar who had knowledge but did not act would be punished before the idol worshippers. So Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan Hafizullah ta'ala is mentioning that this person would be from, yani, even before the Kufar. That is one of the opinion of the scholars. They say because that's the apparent wording of the hadith. The apparent wording of the hadith is the first three people. Other scholars say no. What is meant by that, the first three people from amongst the believers. The first three people from amongst the believers. But Allahu A'lam, the rajah, or it seems like the most correct opinion, is we keep the statement of the hadith, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, according to the wording, the first three people. The first three people. Na'am. And indeed, acting upon the religion is extremely important. And that's why Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan mentioned, and this person that does not act is maqdubi alayhi. And he's hated by Allah. He's hated by Allah because Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan says further on, he says, وَلِهَذَا نَقْرَأُ فِي الْفَاتِحَةِ فِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةٍ. Because of that, we read in every unit of prayer in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. What is the straight path? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those who you have blessed. غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Not the path of those who have incurred your anger. وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Nor the path of those who have gone astray. فَسَمَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ بِدُونِ عِلْمٍ الضَّالِينَ. So Allah has titled those who act without knowledge as they have gone astray. وَالَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِالْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah has titled those who act, Allah has titled those who know but do not act upon that knowledge, Allah has titled them as those who have incurred the anger of Allah. And this was mentioned by the Salaf. This was mentioned by the Salaf, rahimahumullah ta'ala, where they said, whoever, like Fudayl ibn Iyad and others from amongst the Salaf, they said, whoever does not act upon his knowledge, fihi shabahum bil yahud. He is similar to the Yahud. Whoever does not act upon his knowledge, he is similar to the Yahud. And whoever acts without knowledge, he is similar to the Nasara. He is similar to the Nasara. Then the Shaykh Hafizullah ta'ala goes on to explain, وَالدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ, when the author says, and calling to it. Calling to what? Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan is calling to the knowledge and calling to the action. Calling to the knowledge and calling to the action, because each of these elements are based on the previous one. So when this author says, وَالدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ, calling to it, he doesn't only mean to act, calling to actions. No, he's meaning calling to actions which are based on the knowledge. Calling to the actions which are based on the knowledge. The Sheikh said, حَفِظُ ta'ala. لا يكفي أن يتعلم الإنسان ويعمل في نفسه ولا يدعو إلى الله عز وجل. It is not befitting that the individual learns himself and acts himself, but does not call to Allah عز وجل. بل لابد أن يدعو غيره فيكون نافعا لنفسه ونافعا لغيره. But it is incumbent that the individual calls others so that he can benefit himself and so that he can benefit others. It is incumbent that the individual calls others so that he can benefit himself by acting. But how does he benefit himself? Because he does what? He gains the knowledge and he acts himself upon the knowledge. And then what does he do? He calls others to the knowledge. لأن هذا العلم أمانة. He said this knowledge is a trust. Why does Allah, why has Allah given you knowledge? Because the knowledge is a trust. ليس بملك لك تقتذنه. It is not your property that you should store. وتحرم الناس منه. And you should prevent others from learning. والناس بحاجة إليه. The people are in need of this knowledge. فالواجب عليك التبليغ والبيان ودعوة الناس إلى الخير. He said it is obligatory that you inform the people and you clarify to the people and you call the people to this good. هذا العلم الذي حملك الله إياه ليس وقفا عليك. This knowledge which Allah has given you is not, it is not, it's not constricted to you. It's not only for you. وإنما هو لك ولغيرك. But it is for you and it is for others. Then he said further on down, وَإِذَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ لَتُبَيِّنَنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَقْتُمُونَ. In Surah Ali Imran, when Allah took the oath of the people who were given the books, you should clarify it to the people and you should not conceal it, isolate it to yourself. And in this regard, there was actually a story that took place in brief with Abu Huraira, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people were mentioning that Abu Huraira is narrating so much. Abu Huraira became frustrated because of the statements, and he said, "You're saying I'm narrating so much, but indeed there is a verse in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If it was not for this verse, I would be quiet. And he mentioned this verse, yani when Allah took an oath from the people that you would clarify it and you would not conceal it to yourself. So Abu Huraira said, if it wasn't for a verse in the Book of Allah, I would be quiet. But Allah has given me this knowledge to spread it to the people. So I'm going to narrate from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Six Honorable Zan said, هذا ميثاق أخذه الله على العلماء أن يبين للناس ما علمهم الله عز وجل أن ينشروا الخير ويخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. He said, this is the oath that Allah took upon the scholars, yani the scholars of the past and the scholars of the present. Allah has taken an oath from them that they have to clarify the religion to the people, that which Allah has informed them. And they have to spread it. They have to spread the good to the people. Take the people from the darkness unto the light. هذا عمل الرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام ومن اتبعهم. This is the occupation, this is the job, this is the obligation of the prophets and the messengers and those who follow them. What proof does Sheikh Saleh Fawzan bring? He brings the ayat in Surah Yusuf toward the end of Surah Yusuf, verse 108. قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. The statement of Allah in Surah Yusuf, the 108th verse, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, say, this is my path. I call to Allah upon knowledge, me and those who follow me. So this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every prophet who came before him. They call to Allah upon knowledge and those who follow them. And indeed the prophets, indeed the scholars, they are from the foremost of those who claim to follow the prophets and the messengers. And with that being the case, then there's their occupation to do what? To call to Allah. And to denounce and abandon shirk. As Allah said in the same verse, وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ glory be to Allah, and I am not from amongst the mushrikeen. So the occupation of the prophets and the messengers and those who follow them and at the forefront of them, the scholars and the callers to Islam, is that they call to Allah upon knowledge. They glorify Allah and they free themselves from shirk and the people who are upon shirk. Now, then the Sheikh says, هذه طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the path of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وطريقة أتباعه. And this is the way of those who follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. العلم والعمل والدعوة إلى الله عز وجل. Knowledge and actions. Righteous actions. And calling to Allah عز وجل. فمن لم يدعو وهو قادر على الدعوة وعنده علم وكتمه فإنه يلجم بلجام من النار يوم القيامة. But the individual who has the ability, the individual who has knowledge and has the ability to call, but he does not, and he keeps the knowledge with himself, then this individual will be punished from the hellfire on the day of judgment. This individual will be punished from the hellfire on the day of judgment, and he mentions, or in the footnote, it is mentioned the hadith, which is reported in Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, as well as Ibn Majah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man su'ila an ilmin fakatamahu aljamahu Allahu bi lijamin min nar yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever is asked about knowledge and he does not reveal it, then he would be punished from the hellfire or whipped in the hellfire on the day of judgment. Now, then the next issue was sabru ala al-adha'i fi. That the individual has to be patient. So the first is knowledge, and three elements: knowledge of Allah, religion, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second is acting upon it, acting upon that knowledge. The third is calling to it, and the fourth is being patient with the trials and tribulations with which one is afflicted with, in the call of everything that came before. In the call of everything, in the call of gaining knowledge, in the call of act upon, as it pertains to gaining knowledge, as it pertains to acting upon that knowledge, and as it pertains to calling to that knowledge, the person has to be patient. He must be patient. And to inform you, this patience, and if you want to go into detail, we will refer you back to the commentary of the three usul, and I can mention this. I mentioned it previously, but I'll mention it again. In English, the two, to the best of my knowledge, the two commentaries which are present, are there two commentaries and there's one notes, which are present in the English language, to the best of my knowledge. The best of them being the one which is by Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is his commentary, and I mentioned it previously, which was translated by our brother Abu Talha al-Burbank, rahimahullah ta'ala. His commentary, Sheikh Uthaymeen's commentary, is one of the best commentaries, and it's a present in English. The different maratib, the different categories of sabr can be read in that book. Likewise, I forgot to mention one, which is also an extensive commentary, which is by Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, hafizahullah ta'ala, and that was translated by Abu Abdullah Hassan Somali, and that is also present in the English language, also a wonderful explanation. You also have the comments by Ibn Qasim, Abdurrahman bin Qasim, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has the comments on Usul al-Thalatha, and that is also present in the English language. But to get, we advise, because we're going to end the lesson now, but we advise the brothers and those who are listening to the lesson to refer back to Sheikh Uthaymeen's explanation on the different levels of sabr, and Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, hafizahullah ta'ala, on the different levels of sabr. But in general, we should understand, and it's important for the believer to understand, when it comes to sabr, it should be implemented in learning the religion, it should be implemented in acting upon the religion, and it should be implemented in calling to the religion. And likewise, it should be implemented, yani we should understand that this implementation is not only toward the kufar. Yani I have to be patient because I'm acting upon Islam, I'm learning Islam, I'm calling to Islam, I have to be patient with the kufar. Not only the kufar. Because the reality is, you will not only be faced with harm and trials and tribulations from the kufar, but you would also be afflicted with harm from the believers. From the believers who are the atal qulub, individuals who have weak iman, individuals who don't understand the religion, individuals from ahl al-bid'ah, individuals from people from amongst the people that follow their desires, they would also, it's possible, and the reality is, it's possible that you might be afflicted with trials and tribulations from the believers more than the kuffar. From the believers more than the kuffar. And the shaitan does not only have, and the reality is, the shaitan does not only have cavalry from amongst the kuffar. No, he has individuals that work, whether they realize it or whether they don't realize it, he has individuals that work even amongst the ranks of the Muslims. He has those who are weak in their Islam, those who are from amongst Ahl al-Bid'ah, those who are from the people of innovation, those who are from the people of sin. He has even those who are munafiqun, who claim to be believers. So this patience has to be implemented, you know, with regards to the kuffar and with regards to the believers. And because of that, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, مَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ مَنْ دَعَ النَّاسَ وَأَمَرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَحَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ فَإِنَّهُ سَيَتَعَرَّضْ لِلْأَذَى مِنَ الْأَشْرَارِ. He said, it is known that whoever calls the people to the religion of Allah, and whoever enjoins the good and forbids the evil. Huh? Notice what he says, whoever enjoins the good and forbids the evil. Right, we enjoin the good, forbid the evil only amongst the kuffar. No, we do it amongst the believers, more than the kuffar. We do it amongst the believers, more than the kuffar. Ya akhi, don't do this, this is wrong. Sister, don't do this, this is wrong. You know, abstain from this action. This action is not pleasing to Allah. This action is an innovation. So, when you're enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, فَإِنَّهُ سَيَتَعَرَّضُ لِلْأَذَى, you will be afflicted with harm from people who are evil. لِأَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ لَا يُرِيدُونَ الْخَيْرِ, because many people do not want good. بَلْ يُرِيدُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَالْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَالْأَحْوَاءِ الْبَاطِلَةِ. He said, because many people, they want desires. They want that which is haram. They want you submitting to evil forms of desires. فَإِذَا جَاءَ مَنْ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيُرُدُّهُمْ عَنْ شَهَوَاتِهِمْ فَلَا بُدْ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ رَدُّ فِعْلًا بِالْقَوْلِ أَوْ بِالْفِعْلِ. He said, so when a person comes to call the people to good and to refute them and their desires, then they have a reaction. Those people who are being called, they have a reaction in their statements and in their actions. فالواجب على من يدعو إلى الله ويريد وجه الله أن يصبر على الأذى. So it is incumbent and mandatory upon the person who calls to Allah and he wants the face of Allah that he has to be patient. وأن يستمر في الدعوة إلى الله, and he has to continue. He has to be patient and he has to be and he has to continue. On this point we're going to stop. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we will continue. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Next week will be, it's possible that next week will be the final lesson until later on, because after that I'm traveling. After that I'm traveling, and it's possible that I won't have, it's possible that I won't have access to the internet for some time. But those who are attending the lesson can follow the announcements of the brothers from Salafi events. But it's possible that more than likely next week will be the last lesson until I return back from my travel. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.